B-Pod Studios.
Bucks, and it's down to the Sixers. Still got to wait on Kevin Durant to come back to play a year for the Nets. So it's wide open right now like it's never been before with the Sixers.
Who do you think comes out of the West?
As of right now, I don't bet against the Clippers, and I don't bet against Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard is the guy that's playing the best basketball of anybody playing basketball right now. So he's the guy I don't bet. He's the guy I don't bet against. Defensively, offensively, everything he does in the basketball court. And now you're, now he's teaming up with another hell of a player like Paul George, another all-star. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Clippers.
Yeah.
All and right, Boogie Cousins, I don't know what he still has to give you right now. Mm-hmm. LeBron, I don't know what he has to give you. Anthony Davis, meh.
You know what he is.
Yeah. Are you betting against Kawhi?
Nah.
So
nah,
you're Clippers
as
well.
Yeah, I'm thinking Clippers as well. Golden State, possibly. I mean, Golden, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, the Lakers, I think LeBron's going to be decent again. I don't think he's going to be last year LeBron.
I don't think he's shot by any means.
No,
but if
Anthony Davis is really formidable. They've put some pieces around. I mean, they've, you know, Boogie Cousins, the value that he shrunk to is kind of amazing.
Yes, it is.
What he'll have left, he's only 29. If he's healthy, that's pretty good threesome right there.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour now brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag, get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBaxter.com. And online with us right now from TheEnquirer.com. You can follow him on Twitter by David Murphy. Mr. David Murphy joins us right now. Good morning, David.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Doing excellent. Right. I got to say, David, I really enjoyed your piece over the weekend regarding the Sixers and their banking on Ben Simmons to be something phenomenal. And the line I really appreciated was that if you look at what he is right now, Ben Simmons, without the jump shot, he's a great defender. He does so many, facilitates phenomenally well. But still, you look at this as Ben Simmons' floor.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw that this postseason. And I think one of the things that we kind of get away from when we're talking about these guys is that, I mean, 50% of the game is still defense, you know? And Ben Simmons, you know, the game changing part of his skill set really is we've seen that he can be an elite defender. You know, I know Kawhi kind of shredded them in the postseason, but Kawhi has shredded a lot of people. The fact that in a series where Ben Simmons' primary matchup was the best player in the world right now, and the Sixers came within, you know, a couple bounces of you know, perhaps going on to face the or beating the eventual NBA champ, I think speaks volumes. And you know, you look at him, the guy never gets tired. I think he's a guy who, you're not going to see a dramatic drop off because of injury or he's going to age well. And I think you're going to, at the very least, you're going to get what you've gotten out of him last year for the rest of his career. And that's a player that like impacts the game in a lot of different ways, even if he doesn't shoot the ball.
Now, when you look at this team banking on him to be a leader, so to speak, with Joel Embiid being here, he'll be the marquee guy. But do they look at Ben Simmons as not just a facilitator on the court, but also a leader in the locker room?
Yeah, I think that he needs to be. You know, he's not a vocal guy. Like, if you're around him, and maybe he's tried to be more of one, but, you know, he's not a guy who's going to be rah-rah. I don't see him as the guy who, you know, just pulls people together and gives them pep talks or anything like that. But on the court, you know, I think he kind of sets an example with the way he plays the game. You know, he's incredibly unselfish. He's very calm and steady. I think it's one of those things where it will be interesting to see both he and Joel develop on that front. Because I don't think either one of those guys, both of those guys are kind of insular in their own ways. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they take ownership over this team as they grow older.
Murph, how do you see the Sixers playing style this year offensively? In the past, as you know, I know, everybody here knows, Brett Brown has talked about wanting to push the ball and shooting threes. It's the way of the NBA, and that's what he wanted to do. And then you have to obviously sprinkle in getting the ball to the 7-2 guy down low. But do you see them playing a drastically different game this year, being as they're probably suspect three-point shooting team, and they've gotten a little bit slower with Al Horford and Embiid in the lineup at the same time?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question, and I can't even really picture what this offense is going to look like. I might be in the minority here, but I thought it was a good move to kind of get away from J.J. Redick a little bit. They did not need another guy to be featured in this offense, and Redick is a guy who, he's a great catch and shooter, obviously, but they ran so many actions for him. I just don't know that that's what you needed. He's a great scorer, but I think given the setup of the team, you'd rather have a guy who plays a little better defense slot in there. And I think Josh Richardson fits that bill. Now, the question is, what exactly is that going to look like? Because so much of this offense over the last, couple seasons has been running, if not through Redick, definitely featuring him and Joel Embiid in that two-man game to get things started. So I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. I think it's going to be fascinating to see. I mean, how do you maneuver, Al Horford and Joel Embiid when they're on the court at the same time? Is that enough spacing? I think all these are questions that really is what's going to make the first half of the season worth watching, just to see what exactly Brett does with this offense.
Speaking with David Murphy from the Inquirer, before we move on to things out west, just wrapping up things with the East, when it comes to the Sixers, are they the heavy favorite in your mind to come out of the East, or is it still the Bucks?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say heavy favorite, because, like you said, you have the Bucks there. But I said this last year, if they were going to beat the Raptors, I was going to pick them against the Bucks. And I think Danny Green kind of backed me up in some of the comments he made afterwards. The Raptors looked at the Sixers as the toughest series that they played, and for good reason. I mean, it went seven games and very easily could have gone the other way. I happen to think the Sixers match up as well against the Bucks as any other team, and I think adding Horford and Kyle O'Quinn only furthers that. I mean, I think they're going to be uniquely positioned to, guard Giannis while still, protecting the rim a little bit. And I think they had some success even when it was just Joel. In that game where Giannis scored 50, he could have scored a lot more, if Joel had not had some of the fair success that he did around the hoop.
Speaking of David.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll take it. Still the favorite. Fine with me. David, so going out west, Kawhi is now going to be facing off against LeBron and Golden State out there. It is just going to be a dogfight out there. Who do you think made the biggest impact on their team when you look at the acquisitions made over the last week and a half?
Out west, I think, the Clippers. I love the Jazz, man. I like that roster. I think it's going to be fascinating out there. But the Clippers, to me, are the team to beat. And it's not particularly close at this point. I don't think people should underestimate the Lakers. I know it's fun to do, but you've got two obviously top 10 players there.
Speaking with David Murphy from the Inquirer, the other thing I want to look at out on that side of the game is the NBA is coming into one of its most popular eras possibly ever, especially with social media. And there's been some talk on the station over the weekend, really, about the NBA just threatening, at least in some markets, the NFL's popularity. Is this a good thing for the NBA, for so many stars to be on the West Coast time schedule?
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid point. I was just talking to a buddy of mine the other day. We were trying to guess how many Clippers games we'd actually end up watching. And the answer is probably however many they play on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, right.
I think it's always better on East Coast time, obviously. But, I think the player movement itself, and I wrote this today, is actually, a good thing for the NBA. If you look right now, we're going to have a level of parity within that upper echelon that has not existed for at least a decade. I was looking at the odds the other day, and there's 8 teams that Vegas has given. Vegas is putting at plus 1,400 or less. Last year, there were 3 such teams. you know, you've got 11 teams who can enter the season with some hope of competing for the conference finals. And I think that, you know, that's going to make for a heck of a season.
Murph, I don't know how much of the summer league you've been able to watch. I assume you've seen a little bit of it, and if so, who's impressed you a little bit, and what have you seen so far?
I'll tell you what, man. I've really been impressed with Thybul's shooting form. I think he's got a very natural jumper, and he seems like a guy that's going to work hard. And I think there's very good reason to think that he might be a 3-and-D guy this year, you know? I don't know. Zaire looks a little stiffer with that shot. You know, it's not as natural. I mean, I'm a big Zaire Smith fan. I think he's going to impact the game at some point in his career. But I see why they moved up to draft Thybul. I think that they were looking at him as a player who they would project into the rotation this season. And I think, you know, I don't know about his defense. Everyone says he's the best defender in the draft, so I'll take them at their word. And if that's the case, I see no reason why he can't be a 35%, 36% minimum 3-point shooter given the way that jump shot looks.
It's funny. Thybul's the guy that jumped out to me too. And it was because I'm watching him. It's because of his defense. Like, I really like where he goes. I like his long arms. He follows the ball well. He recovers well. Defense seems real natural to him. It's funny how we looked at this differently. I looked at his shooting like, wow, there's an added little thing. You know,
I was just assuming that his defense, you know, I'll take people at their word. Everyone said he's a great defender. I was more curious, is he going to be able to shoot?
Yeah.
You know, like, what does this shot look like? Especially what we've seen out of, you know, these last three Sixers draft picks when it comes to jump shots early on in their careers, you know? Now Zaire is the best of them, but still, I mean, he's just not a perfectly natural shooter just yet. It's a little flat. It's a little mechanical.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, you could tell that Thybul, and those arms, as you mentioned, on the defense, that's the other thing that jumped out. I mean, he can scratch his knees while standing up, you know? He's, playing against a guy with arms that are longer than his frame would suggest, it's just a nightmare. Because you're throwing passes that you think should get through traffic, and this guy's picking them off like, you know, Godzilla or whatever. It's like grabbing helicopters out of the air. It's awful playing against a guy with long arms, and I can see why Thybul had so many steals in college.
Dave, I want to switch things with you up real quick. I know you're your man for all seasons, so I want to go over to baseball real quick. First off, I'm tired of seeing the Mets and the Phillies throw at each other all day. Like, I just wanted that problem to be resolved. Is there any way you can solve this problem in baseball where instead of guys getting warned or, you know, what look like fake fights on the mound and guys trying to throw at one another, is there anywhere for baseball to try to resolve that?
You know, I mean, completely resolve it, no. But I think the first step is for baseball to want to resolve it. And I don't know that they're there yet. I think the rest of us viewers and fans, you know, save for some of the older baby boomers, Bobby.
Bobby.
But at least you dropped a Bobby.
You know, the Philly.com commenters set, they want you to be throwing at heads all day. But I think the rest of us in polite society has kind of caught up to the fact that, like, what's the point? Maybe you shouldn't be throwing 97-mile-an-hour hard objects at other human beings. And like you said, it's just, you know, like, the one thing I respect about hockey is, like, if they're going to fight, they're going to fight. You know, like, it's just so much waste of time. You're going to throw these 97-mile-an-hour objects at people and then just, like, front for 5 minutes, you know? Like,
right, exactly.
It's just, the whole thing is just silly. You know, but baseball, you know, the establishment kind of lags behind. I think they're going to have to, it's got to be a priority from the commissioner's office on down, and the Players Association has to be on board. Otherwise, you know, if the guys on the field, you know, want it to be a part of the game and guys above them aren't going to tell them any differently, then no, I don't think there is anything that can be done.
All right, David, last one for you then. What's the bigger travesty in baseball then? Not resolving throwing at pitchers or throwing at batters or sleeveless uniforms coming back?
Yo, those sleeveless uniforms are boss, man. Those,
what?
Oh, Mert likes it.
Oh, come on. Dave. Where's the undershirt? Where's that? Where's that?
I love it. I mean, I don't know if I could take it. I mean, it looks like nine village people playing against each other. But I don't know if I could stomach it for 162 games. But yeah, man, why not? You know, it looks hot out there. You got to let those guns breathe. You know,
let the guns get a little air.
That's a good way to put it.
The pythons breathe a little bit. You know what?
You've sold me. You've sold me on letting the guns breathe. You got me there.
I think you guys should have a sleeveless show at some point.
You don't know what we got going on in here, Murph.
Hey, man.
Yeah, right. Let the mind run wild.
You're exempted, Bobby.
David Murphy, from the Inquirer, read his stuff. Always great stuff. Inquirer columnist. We appreciate you coming on, David.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, take it easy, man. I'm shocked that he's a suns out, guns out guy.
Suns out, guns out. Let him breathe, man.
I feel like we covered all the important things.
Curls in. Make sure you're right. Wait, make sure the front and backs. Get your front and backs ready.
What was that, Bob?
He's young.
Yeah, man.
You know what? That's the one thing I don't mind in baseball is the fun that they have with the uniforms, because really the game hasn't changed in 150 years.
Yeah.
You know, so like I don't mind. I like the alternate uniforms. I like the mix and match. I like when guys go high socks. I like when they go throwbacks. That Nationals wore Expos the other day. I love that stuff. The more jerseys and stuff you can throw out there in baseball to make it more fun, I'm all for it.
See, the old school uniform, well, that was sleeveless, and you're right, Bob. It would be sleeveless, but you would have the undershirt either cropped at the shoulder where you could see it jetting out a little bit, like a
right.
peak almost,
right.
Or beak, I should say. And then the ones that I saw over the weekend with the Reds were just like, yo, dude, like, really? That's not a baseball uniform.
Come on, man.
Like, I remember the Rockies tried to institute baseball uniforms of the future, and they were the ugliest things I've ever seen
in my life.
It's
old school, man. You don't like Jimmy Rollins in the booth.
Okay, no, you
like that. Now you don't like the sleeveless shirts, you know.
I don't like to make sure with the times, man. Then how come other teams aren't doing it?
You didn't like when the Chicago White Sox
somebody
had
has
shorts?
To be a trailblazer.
Wait, hold. Two things just
what
got.
You say?
What was that?
Chicago White Sox wore shorts one year. Instead of long pants, they had shorts. I'll call it up for you. Greg Luzinski was on that team.
How did they slide?
They had their socks up high. It was like it literally was like softball uniforms.
Yeah, I'm not, that was
really weird.
Yeah, vaguely remembering
I'm not,
something.
I'm not good with the shorts.
Yeah, no, I'm not good with the shorts either.
How about shorts and no sleeves? That way they'd run around out there like that.
No. Sleeves are good. No sleeves.
Like a basketball uniform.
Yeah, exactly.
The shorts, I'm not really, yeah.
What sport did we show up to play? I don't know. It's going to be interesting, though. Have at it, fellas. But no, I look at the Phillies right now, and I see a team that has, and for the most part, underachieved this year. And it's crazy to say that about a team that right now is in playoff contention. But they're only in playoff contention because they started out the season so well.
Yeah.
If I have to bring the numbers up to you again, 8-8 team when they're not playing against the Mets since June 1st. All right? Around the time you lose Andrew McCutchen, you've been struggling to stay in the race. And you have a team right now that just doesn't look like they can find any consistency.
Struggling.
I understand they want to go into the All-Star break with good vibes, and hey, you just had another series where you beat the Mets. Congratulations.
Yes.
But everything else is like, you have to know at some point, Trey, especially if you're a player on this team, you have to know that you need to be a lot better against those upper echelon teams. You can't just keep beating the Mets.
Absolutely. And everyone in that locker room should, or in the clubhouse shouldn't see, know that. That, okay, man, well, you know what? Let's do it. Do what we got to do to go away. Let's get back. I don't know if we need to get some new bamboo. Whatever the situation is, you need to do whatever you need to do so that we can come back right, because this isn't good enough. Anybody that's played that game that's around these guys, they know. They should know this.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't something that should be, you know, well, what's the problem? Everybody should be saying to themselves, look, man, this isn't right, so whatever you guys need to do during this week to get yourselves together so that we can come back on fire, that's what you need to do.
Well, look at this. Look at the schedule when they come back. Have you looked at the schedule?
Yeah, you got the Nationals.
You got the Nationals.
Welcome back.
Yeah. And then it's the Dodgers.
Away from the
hello.
Well, no, if they have the Nationals for three, then right. they host the Nationals for three, then they host the Dodgers for four, and then they visit the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are actually playing some pretty damn good baseball this year.
Yeah, real good baseball.
They're at Pittsburgh, and then they're at Detroit. But, like, those are 10 games
right there. Yeah, Josh Bell is destroying baseballs at an astronomical rate.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He's incredible. Second baseman for the Pirates has just been incredible. So, like, it doesn't get a lot easier. And you want to tell me you could beat these other teams? And after Detroit, they got the Braves for three. Giants, White Sox, whatever. But, like, there's no easing back into the second half of the season.
I know. No, there's no easing back. That's why you want to, okay, do what you need to do so that you can come back ready. You have to come back ready for this. I don't know if Gabe's going to take the guys and they go do a Himalayan salt bath or something. I don't know. What is that? What you were talking about, the salt caves?
Yeah, my cousin has a salt cave.
Yeah, salt cave. I don't know. Maybe
she runs one.
Do a little team salt cave. I don't know. Do whatever you need to do.
I'd rather come back with better 3, 4, and 5 pitchers. That's what I'd rather go on a retreat.
How about Dallas Keuchel? He can be my salt cave.
Go on a retreat. Do whatever you got to do. Get the mind back. Get your mind back. You might, you know, hey, man, let's go. I don't know.
No, I like your idea. No, this is all something. Good. It's all good brainstorming you're
something
having.
Something has to happen.
But Tight Pants, Mr. Tight Pants, maybe he comes back with a little vengeance?
Well, he has bone spurs, so, I mean, what is, you know.
But you told me they pop back into place.
Yeah, they pop in and out.
He's going to come back with a sling.
Yeah, by the way. Because I had bone spurs in my ankles. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's the same type of situation.
It just kind of go away?
Yeah, they pop in and out.
Bob just sent me via text the uniforms.
Yeah, the shorts. Yeah, that's not a good look.
That's a bad,
I think that was like in the mid-70s.
And that's the bull right there, right? Is that the bull? No, that's not.
That's a double. Yeah, that was their uniform 1 year. They wore shorts and high socks.
Was Bill Veeck running things back then?
That might have been, yeah. That's when they had disco night, I believe. Remember that?
Yeah. I got you.
Uh-huh.
It's certainly going to be an uphill climb for the Phillies from here on out. If you're just sitting back being content with where the Phillies are right now, saying, oh, well, what are you complaining about? They're still playoff contention. Yeah, that's also factoring when they had Andrew McCutchen. That's also factoring in when they had even a better version of Jake Arrieta, a more consistent Zach Eflin. Like that's
an everyday center fielder.
Like, I can't just bank off what they were able to do early in the season because that's what they're trying to ride right now. You got to beat teams that aren't the Mets. And now they're going to have a lot to prove against the Nationals when they come back, the Dodgers, and then when they also go out to face the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Man, you got Nola back. He can sweat.
Nola's back, baby.
Nola loves hot heat.
But and I even said it earlier, they won one game of, I think, the 5 that Aaron Nola started in April. One game they won. Then they won every game that he started in May. Regardless of how he did, the team won.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost a wash when you look at Aaron Nola. What you don't expect is the April that he had. You expected a little bit more help coming out of the gate there. 610-632-0975. Let's get Warren and Cherry Hill up here. What's up there, Warren?
Morning, all.
Hey, buddy.
I got to tell you, what we're running into right now, first of all, you know, they did their job. There was not ever going to be an unlimited amount of money. So anybody who says they didn't like what they did is full of baloney. The guys they got happen to be underachieving this year. For whatever reason, whether it's Harper, Segura, even the catcher. But the biggest mistake they have, and they can't fix everything in 1 year. We saw them beat the Braves 3 times. All right, we're the 27 Yankees. And listen, McCutchen was a loss, but they just don't have an ounce of pitching when you're best pitching. Last year, Aaron Nola was 14 games over 500. 14 games for a bad team. There is nobody stepping up. The bullpen's been injured or a disaster. So, honestly, I don't even know if a pitcher at this point makes it. So, I'm okay. I'd like to make a playoff, you know, whether it's one game or anything more. But anybody thought we were going to turn into contenders in 1 year was just not thinking, really, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, what we were banking on was the lineup scoring a lot of runs with Andrew McCutchen leading off and obviously Bryce Harper hitting third. And then also Gene Segura, who's been one of the best hitting shortstop, if not the best hitting shortstop in baseball over the last 3 years. But even that has underachieved.
Well, even that, even if you have 3 mashers, whatever it is, look at all the years of Colorado Colorado Rockies had crazy hitting and they didn't make the playoffs. Right? Whether it's a stadium or not, it was their pitching. We don't have an ounce of pitching. We keep making mistakes with a bullpen. It's easy to say now, but I believe the guy Robertson, he was hurt last year. I don't know why the bullpen should be the easiest thing in the world to fix. It's basically starters who couldn't cut it. I'd just be running guys in and out till somebody locks it down, and that's all you can do. But I don't see them looking for a big playoff win this year, to be honest with you.
Well, it's not looking good right now. They're half game. Thanks for the call, Warren. Appreciate it. They're half game in the wild card spot right now, the second wild card spot after the Nationals. They're playing in the one of the toughest divisions all of baseball. The East in baseball, whether that to be the AL or NL, is just ungodly. That's what it is. So the Phillies are in one of those tough divisions. Now you're looking at guys to really step up. Like Bryce Harper, if you look at it, sometimes the websites will give you the projection, obviously. Bryce Harper's projected to hit 29 home runs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a huge disappointment for a guy that I thought was going to hit over 40.
There's three guys in the NL going into the break with 30 home runs. let's just let that one hang.
Alonso's
for a second.
One of them. We just saw him.
Yep. And Josh Bell's got 28 or 27. Yep. So it's almost four guys in your own league that have what your projected superstar is supposed to get.
Well, at least they're making $330 million. Yes. So we all know that that'll even out.
And I'm not saying you sign Bryce Harper 10 times out of 10 and you don't think twice about it.
Yeah, right.
But needs more power.
So you sign the most expensive contract in sports history at the time, and you're still 13th in payroll.
Mm-hmm.
Spend the other money!
Yeah, no, this needs to be a top five. When you have a farm system that sucks, you have to spend to be competitive.
When you can't bank on the farm system, you just bank on the bank.
Yep.
And start rolling guys
Guess
in
what?
Here.
Money works.
Bang. Throw money in their face. Yeah, deal with it. 610-632-0975. Deal with the wild
money. Go get Zangreggy.
All right, well, that's going to be a trade.
Yeah, but you have to pay them.
Maybe you can tell somebody else your prospects are good and trade them. I don't know. 610-632-0975. Time to the Fanatic 925.
97.5 The Fanatic. Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
So I got into this debate a long, long time ago with my good friend and colleague, Taryn Hatcher. She was in the studio with us a couple weeks ago from NBC Sports Philadelphia.
I remember. She's from Delran, New Jersey.
Yes, she is.
Yep.
And
home of Carly Lloyd. Yes.
She was telling me that Aaron Nola has a mullet.
Yes.
And I said,
it's a tasteful mullet because there's like curl to it.
All right, so it's a mullet.
Yeah.
All right.
But it's
tasteful
a little,
because it has a curl to it.
Yeah, it's got like a little flow to it. It's not like a straight down just like mullet.
Well, I said...
It's got some volume to it, Bobby.
A year ago, when she brought this to my attention, she goes, Aaron Nola has a mullet. And my reaction to that was, nah. Like, no, he just has long hair. It's not a mullet.
He's partying in the back.
But it's slicked back. So it's all part of the same thing. It has to be short and almost like cropped, like shorter, right?
And sticking out. Talking bangs.
More or less. But it's all slicked back to long hair. Like Cole Hamels had long hair when he came up, right? It wasn't a mullet. It was just that he had long hair. So then I look at Aaron Nola last night, and I even tweeted out a photo, and he's doing his post-game interview, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, okay, now I think he has a mullet. So I tweet Taryn, and I go, yep, I think Aaron Nola has a mullet. I now agree with you. And, like, the people that responded were like, do you even know how mullets work? And I'm like, oh, my God, Twitter is just the greatest thing ever.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, it's pretty easy blueprint, business in front, party in the back. Like, that's the blueprint of a mullet, and that appears to be what Aaron Nola has right now. We have a pitcher with a mullet pitching for the Phils for the first time since 1993. So that, I think that's how we know Aaron
Nola's
back.
Is it confirmed the first mullet since 93?
I've checked sources.
Have you?
Well, here's the deal. Here's what made me even think about this further. So I'm watching the Futures game last night.
Yeah.
It looked awesome.
You really thought about this further?
Yeah.
This is the hard-hitting stuff, Bob.
Dude, Bob, what do I have?
Come on, Bobby.
Bob, right. What do I have going on?
Obviously not much.
Bobby, we leave no stone unturned.
Yeah. Trey, how much thought have you put in the mullets lately?
I didn't even pay attention to it. Yeah.
Did you see this Dustin Bay kid for the Dodgers? I'm not even kidding.
Oh, he's a Dodgers prospect? That means he'll probably be good.
Well, here's
God, here we go.
He's a Dodgers prospect, but I swear it looked like he had the Angels emblem on his jersey.
I didn't notice.
But anyway, it was hard to because this guy has...
Oh, is he the redhead?
bright red hair.
Yeah, I saw this
and
guy.
He's got flow that makes Jake DeGrom look like, or Noah Syndergaard and Jake DeGrom look like they're bald as me. Like, I swear. They look like Mr. Like, they look like nothing compared to Dustin Bay of the Dodgers organization, who was pitching in the Futures game yesterday. Trey, I swear, this is a flow of just red hair with a red, like a bright red goatee. And these guys are just going nuts out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I see him, yeah.
Yeah. Your evaluation would be?
Oh, yeah, he has good hair. Great hair.
Now, if he could just wear the sleeveless uniform, we'd be all set for one of the coolest guys in sports. Yeah, what about him?
Because you can't get the tan. Isn't that right?
That's right. Yeah. SPF 1000.
Yeah, because yes. redheads can't, they don't tan, right?
They burn.
Yeah, they burn.
Yeah, I've seen a tan redhead.
Really?
But it's after a lot of sunscreen was applied.
Oh, okay.
And about a month down the shore.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I don't know.
The fair skin.
What does that mean?
A fair skin, like they're pasty.
Okay.
That's pretty much what that means.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
But anyway, long story short, I'm just saying.
You're right. Clear.
I'm saying we have now... transparent. I don't know.
Yeah, so all right. So he's ready. Yeah, he does have a beautiful flow.
Yeah. Yeah. Next to watching Alec Boehm work a full count base hit to left field yesterday. Ooh, it was the best part about it.
He worked a pitcher.
Worked a count.
Oh, he's got Phillies material written all over him.
Dude, when you're scorned.
Work that count, baby.
Hell hath no
fury. Screw hitting for the fences. Work that count.
Hell hath no fury like a Jamie scorned. You're ridiculous. And look, not to say I don't agree with you, because I was crunching some numbers, and I don't think the Phillies have drafted a guy that hit 150 home runs with the club. Like, I don't think they've drafted
not.
No. I think they have four that have hit like 150 home runs with the club that were drafted here,
and three of them were on the 08 team.
Yes.
And so thank you, Ed Wade. Ed Wade, come on down. You're the next GM of the Philadelphia Phillies.
To your point.
It's pathetic.
As much as I want to get giddy about Charlie Manuel.
You can't.
Charlie Manuel says Alec Boehm can hit 40 home runs. Charlie Manuel's been scouting Alec Boehm since he was 14 years old.
You hate Charlie Manuel, don't you?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Why do you hate Charlie Manuel?
I just hate any prospect we've ever had, ever.
All right.
Yeah, now, there we go. Is that fair? Sorry, I'm all triggered up. I can't stop thinking about how bad they are over, seriously, it's like 100 years.
You had all this pent-up emotion.
I mean, like Pete Rose, Steve Carlton, you know, like all these guys that have come in and been great players, they're all bought. The farm system just historically sucks.
So what does that tell you? Go keep spending
money. Yes, that's what it tells me.
That's what. Okay.
Go get Zach Greinke. Give up these crap prospects you have and go get proven talent and stop being cheap and stop being the 13th overall payroll in Major League Baseball. It's not good enough.
Should have gotten Dallas Keuchel.
Absolutely, and I don't even like him.
No, but he's better than what you got.
He's better than Cole Irvin.
Do you want him pitching against you?
Oh, God. Yeah, I'd like Dallas Keuchel going against me.
Can we go to Wimbledon one time?
Say that one more time?
Just go to Wimbledon.
A Wimbledon?
Yeah.
I thought you said Wilmington.
No, Wimbledon.
And I'm like,
yeah, no, we can, Trey.
I was like, that'd be really cool.
We can go right after work if you'd like.
We can go right now.
We should take a trip there one day.
Go to the charcoal pit, have ourselves a great time.
Go watch a little tennis, man.
I would like to go to Wimbledon. That would be fun.
Wimbledon, my bad.
It's on my It's on my that's on my bucket list.
So when the tennis ball hits out into the crowd, they can't keep the tennis balls?
I don't know what
they should be able to.
Yeah,
why? They just threw it back.
Yeah,
did he?
Just threw it back. Yeah, just...
maybe he's rooting for the other guy.
Probably. Yeah, That's probably what it is. We don't even want your tennis ball.
The Cubs tradition goes all the way over to Wimbledon.
Give him the Scott Rolen tradition. That's what it is. We don't even want your foul ball, Scott. Throw it back.
It's awesome. I don't know.
You like the most random things. Seriously.
You want to
go to Wilmington? Well,
exactly. That's how I was too.
You want to go to Wimbledon and you want to paint it or something.
Yeah, just go hang out, you know?
I could see Trey sitting outside having some champagne and what do they have? Champagne and like strawberries, right?
Yeah.
And painting a picture of the scene.
That would
be awesome.
It'd be beautiful. You could sit right down a little hill.
Yeah.
And watch the game. They have it on the screens.
Yep.
Seems like a good time.
I would want to go. England's a good time.
Yeah.
England's a party. I'd go there in a heartbeat. 610-632-0975 if you want to get in on the final segment, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't heard the amazing threat from Jake Arrieta yet, we'll have it for you coming up in a few. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
I would really appreciate it if Jake Arrieta was a better pitcher than he's been this year. Let's start there. I do like a guy who's outspoken, not just because we do this job, but because I... Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh.
No, just that you want Jake Arrieta to be better.
Oh, okay. I was like, he just had surgery? What happened?
Hot take.
Yeah, it's a hot take. Thank you. But how he's pitched recently, especially, has been nothing short of just abysmal.
Yeah.
But he's never one to be at a loss for words.
No.
He's not afraid to say something. When he was in New York, you know, New York is the place where Jake Arrieta says something. It was against the Mets that he called out the team this year, right? Not last year, but this year is when he called out his team. The previous year he did that in San Francisco, but this year he was in New York. He's at Citi Field. The team apparently didn't come out of a rain delay looking ready. So after the game that they lost, he said guys weren't taking the game seriously, basically. That's what he said. So this time around, after he hit a couple of guys with change-ups in Saturday's loss to the Mets, where Jake Arrieta started and did not fare too well, took exception to Todd Frazier giving him the eyes a couple of times. Here is Jake Arrieta after the game Saturday night.
A little bit, especially with changeups, but, you know, Frazier's not happy about it. He can come see me, and I'll put a dent in his skull.
He meant that.
I zero doubt in my non-dented mind that he said that and meant it, every syllable of it. But the way he said it, Bob, you even alluded to it, the way he, like, scratched his beard as he was saying it, he meant it. He means it, and he is a scary SOB that wants to go after somebody, if given enough reason.
Yeah, and he's a guy at this point in his career, he's got to get any kind of edge he can get when he's on the mound, and he knows it, and maybe that's one of the edges he's trying to get, to be intimidating when he's off the mound?
All right, well, the response from Todd Frazier was simple. It was, I think that was a little overboard when he was asked about it.
Just a tad extreme.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Why does he want to dent my skull?
And by the way, Todd Frazier, a Jersey guy, I would expect a little bit more moxie from. And I said North Jersey earlier. Somebody said Central Jersey.
Yeah, this is the whole Jersey debate thing.
You're either South Jersey or you're New York. Yeah. That's all you are to me.
I think the official ruling is where the Dunkin' Donuts stop serving Eagles cups and start serving Giants cups. Like, I think that's the official barometer.
That's like the Princeton area, a little bit north of Princeton, I would say.
When the founding fathers were writing it down, they made sure to include the line about Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how we'll make the differentiation between the two. So anyway, Jake Arrieta, I'm tired of this guy talking tough and not backing it up. Like, as a Philly, like, what you were as a Cub was incredible. You're a Philly. And as a Philly, you haven't done jack squat since you've been here. And you want to come out talking trash after a game you allow 11 hits?
Hasn't done jack squat. As a matter of fact, since last year, with pitchers to make a minimum of 100 innings pitched since opening day last year, he is 89th, I believe, out of 121 eligible pitchers in terms of ERA with a 4.22.
Okay, so let me take the positive. At least he's pitching. I will say that.
He is a physical body out there throwing baseballs. We can say.
Yeah, and he's allowed 14 runs, if all earned, by the way, in his last three starts. And at least allowing 8 hits.
That's good.
Like, before you talk tough, like, let me just see you go out on the mound and handle your business a little bit. If you're injured, hey, man, sit it out, get healthy, come back. Hopefully that'll be the difference for you. Unfortunately, the Phillies got nobody else to take his spot. Another reason you should have went and got Dallas Keuchel instead of letting him go to your division rival and the leader of the division in the Braves.
Like I said earlier, people might look at that at the end of the year and say, oh, Keuchel, what difference did it make? No, at the time, it made so much of a difference because at the time, you were in first place and you were looking to expand on that. The season will finish out and they probably won't win the division and whatever happens, happens. And people say, what difference would Keuchel would he have meant? A lot, because if you would have gotten with a 4-game lead and your 12 games over 500, it would have answered a lot of things.
So real quick, I know we want to keep going. I just want to break into some little football real quick, if you're okay with this.
Absolutely.
A little Sports Illustrated thing came out. The NFL's top 10 offensive linemen for 2019.
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah. So, all right. So here are the list of the guys. Let's see if I can, where did it go? Oh, my gosh. I had my list. Okay, so here we go. We had Zach Martin, Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, he's pretty good.
78 points. David B. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name.
Bakhtiari.
Yeah, there you go.
Beer chugger.
Yeah. There you go. That's him. All right. 75 points. Jason Kelce. Guess how many points you think Kelce got?
Last guy got 73.
Yeah. 69.
He got 69.
Yes!
Points. Jason Kelce, 69 points. Tyron Smith, 58 points from the Dallas.
Oh,
Travis Frederick, whatever, center, 56 points. Quentin Nelson from the Colts. Yeah, three.
You have three Cowboys?
David Castro from Pittsburgh. Mitchell Schwartz from Kansas City, offensive tackle, 48 points. Pouncey from Pittsburgh, 47. Trent Williams, Washington, 44. Kelce was the only offensive lineman from the Eagles on this list.
Cowboys got three.
Cowboys has
Redskins
three.
One, Eagles one. So five of the top ten are in the NFC East.
Yeah.
And no Lane Johnson.
No Lane Johnson. Yeah. No Brooks.
Does Lane take that as a slap in the face? Is he going to sleep in the NovaCare complex again for motivation?
I think you did see, he did have a tweet that went out that said, noted.
No.
So he did take interest with it. Yeah.
All right.
So there you go. Yep. Top 10. Only Kelce made the list.
That is astonishing. All right, let's jump into our take. Well, first off, we've got to wrap up our Twitter poll brought to you by the great people of Window Nation.
I hope this got over 4,500 votes.
Searching for windows. Shop windownation.com and take advantage of their 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment, no payments, no interest. For 12 full months, call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Twitter poll, we had asked whether or not people think the Phillies suck, yes or no. This was Jamie Lynch's idea, approved by Trey Thomas. 64% of the 4,394.
Just shy.
Say yes, the Phillies do suck. 64% say yes, they do suck. Takeaways
of the
day.
It's science. You can't argue.
Takeaways of the day. Pat Egan, what is your takeaway?
If you want to get Jamie Lynch triggered, just bring up the Phillies farm system and he's just going to set them off.
Oh, embarrassment of riches. Jamie Lynch.
My takeaway of the day is bring back Ed Wade. At least that guy could draft.
Yeah, right. Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
Yeah, similar to Pat, if there's a word you need to get Jamie Lynch going, it's prospects.
They mean nothing.
You sound like a South Pole elf. Trey Thomas, take away there.
That you're old school, man. You know, like Jimmy Rollins in the booth. You don't like the sleeveless shirts. What else, man?
Slander.
What else?
I am old school, though. There's no denying that one. I'll tell you how much. My takeaway of the day is now that Jamie's back, it can be confirmed. I do have a love swing in my basement. And my house is haunted. All these things have been now confirmed.
Maybe by some kinky perverts. You don't even know who those ghosts are.
There ain't nothing wrong with getting a little airborne.
Maybe those ghosts know something I haven't even heard of yet.
Chances are it's your basic white cotton underwear.
Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.